Does this evening's gospel sound familiar to you? It should. We have been hearing versions of this gospel for the past 5 weeks. All five gospels have been taken from the same chapter of St. John's gospel, the chapter called the Bread of Life, because it encapsulates Jesus' teaching about the Eucharist. Although the five gospels sound amazingly similar, if you pay close attention, you'll notice some subtle differences among them. With each week's restatement of Jesus' central message, that He is the bread of life, there has been an incremental development in His teaching about the Eucharist, and more importantly, there has been a deeper and more earnest invitation to us to follow Him as a disciple. Think back, if you can, to 5 weeks ago, when we heard the first in this series of Eucharistic Gospels. In that very first scene, we observed Jesus miraculously feeding 5,000 hungry pilgrims. Do you remember that Gospel? A vast throng of people had tracked Jesus into a remote area. They had been mesmerized by his teaching and wanted to hear more. Also, after having witnessed some of his healing miracles, they were in their enthusiasm to see more of these miracles, the people followed Jesus without any thought to provisions, and suddenly they were ravenously hungry. Noticing this, Jesus located a little boy who had five small barley loaves and two fishes, and he took them and multiplied them and fed the famished crowd. Only after he satisfied their hunger did Jesus attempt to draw them ever so gently into becoming disciples. In the following week's gospel, Jesus jostled the memory of those fledgling disciples. He reminded them how their ancestors, Moses and the other Israelites, had been fed with manna, that mysterious bread that had fallen from heaven, just as they were about to perish in the desert. Nevertheless, those manna-fed ancestors eventually did die. Although manna was a miraculous gift from God, it was not meant to keep them alive forever. It was meant only to sustain them for the journey to the promised land. Jesus, on the other hand, in the second episode says, "I'm not just manna. I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will never die." In other words, once Jesus had nourished them with bread and fish, he then gave them some food for thought. He tried to get them to understand what he was doing for them. So first he fed them, and then he appealed to their pain. In last week's gospel, Jesus coaxed them along a little further. First he fed their belly, then he gave them some food for thought. Now he appeals to their heart. He says, "Whoever believes in me will never die." He encourages them to move beyond their physical craving for food and beyond their curiosity for wonder, works of wonder, and to believe in him personally. He tells them, "Whoever places their trust in me will never be disappointed." First he fed them, then he gave them food for thought, and then he today we hear Jesus make a new and startling declaration. "Eat my flesh, it's genuine food. Drink my blood, it's genuine drink." Do you remember that saying, "You are what you eat"? It tries to make a connection between what we eat and the rest of our life. If we eat healthy, we'll be healthy. That's what Jesus was saying about his body and blood, the Eucharist. If we eat his body and drink his blood, we will gradually become what we eat. We will begin to become more like Christ himself. If we look back at the long sweep of these five Eucharistic Gospels, we see Jesus working very patiently with these potential disciples. It's a long process. First he feeds their hunger, then he appeals to their pain, trying to understand what it means to be my disciple. Next, he appeals to their heart. If you believe in me, I will be with you always, come what may. Finally, today, he engages their whole consciousness and says, feast on me, become like me. The same incremental process of the Eucharist holds just as true for you and for me as it did for those earliest disciples. Occasionally, someone will remark, I come to Mass and receive communion week after week, but I'm not sure it does anything for me. That's all right, because at least you've begun the journey by taking the Eucharist. You're at that stage where Jesus feeds hungry people. Right now, it's you that Jesus is feeding, and that's a good place to be. However, if you are still hungry for something more, ask God to bring you a little further along the road. Ask God to give you some insight into why he invites you in particular to be his friend and his disciple. Ask God to help you to know what he wants you to do with your life. Another person might say, when I receive communion, I know that Jesus is with me, but I don't feel anything. That's all right, too. You're in the process of being drawn by God into a deeper relationship. Perhaps in your prayer, you might ask God to help you not just to know that he loves you, but also to feel his love in your life. Someone else might say, when I receive communion, I know and feel that God is with me. I know that God loves me, but as soon as I walk out of this church, all that vanishes. I don't feel very Christ-like, and I certainly don't always act in a Christ-like manner. That does not matter. Just be honest about that with Jesus, and then tell him that deep down in your heart, you do want to become a better person, a person more like him, a person who can more easily love, serve, and forgive others. Wherever you happen to be on this Eucharistic journey, do not give up hope. You are in the process of being gently drawn by God ever more deeply into his love. And what you are hurried about anyway, you have the rest of your life to be drawn into the fullness of God's love. So take heart, and then take a bit of advice from today's responsorial song. Taste and see the goodness of God.